Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
How do you feel about the science now?
Well, so I will say this. I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Sunshine 96.7 FM if you're in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. My name is Will Koontz. Anna Hummel will be here in just a minute. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Instagram and Twitter, you can follow me at home_made_man, Anna at Anna Hummel Radio, and follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE. That's Twitter and Instagram, and HMB Radio, if you're on Facebook too, check out the Facebook page. HMBRadio.com/store, you can get your HMB Radio merchandise or some t-shirts. There is some, hoodie. There's a hat that turned out pretty good. You can buy that for a limited time. Probably by summer, it'll be gone. Just a short run there. I saw that Jared Johnson got his HMB Radio shirt this week. Appreciate that, Jared. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know how it turns out. 813-693-2124. Getting that clip there of the show was Jon Stewart on the Colbert Late Night Show, Late Night with Colbert, the Tonight Show with Colbert. I don't know. I don't watch late night television anymore. I don't know many people that do. The New York Times does, because they always say, what was the best thing about late night TV this week? And I think it's just basically programming for New York Times journalist, essentially. But Jon Stewart made his return. Colbert was back. He had a full audience. Everybody was vaccinated. Masks were optional. It was his first show, you know, really back with close quarters, some sort of semblance of normalcy. And he had Jon Stewart on. Jon Stewart, who kind of gave him his career. Colbert started out as a correspondent on the Daily Show, and when the Daily Show was just at its peak, a fine-tuned machine back then. They had a lot of good people on that show. I loved the Daily Show growing up. I still love Jon Stewart. I also hate Jon Stewart because I think he did so much damage to the media landscape. You know, when I was, 20 years old in my early 20s, I watched the Daily Show almost nightly. And, you know, he would always hide behind this. I'm a comedy show whenever anybody would ask him about this stuff, but that's where I got my news. So I thought a lot of things that were jokes. It was where I thought jokes were news at that time. There was a poll that was done that, you know, the majority of people, younger folks, that's where they were getting their news from. And he said it wasn't, but that's what people were doing. They would take clips, clip them deceptively and air them and make people look like morons. They still do that to this day. A lot of people have stolen that style and continue to do it now. I thought that his appearance was very funny, and I enjoyed it very much. But the bombshell was that he got on board, Jon Stewart got on board with this lab leak theory. And I don't even think it's safe to call it a theory anymore. That's just what happened. Still not proven, but, I mean, come on, man. Come on. That's what happened. I'm not really afraid of getting kicked offline for saying that anymore. And he said, you know, what I said last week, which is that, does it just make more sense? The virology lab is right there in Wuhan. The disease is called the Wuhan flu, or his first original. Like, doesn't it just make more sense? Go watch the clip if you haven't. It's on YouTube. Just put in Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart. But what was even more interesting than Jon Stewart's, you know, dropping this bomb, because Colbert's audience is not used to this. I mean, they still think it's just a vast conspiracy and, you know, only morons think this stuff because, of course, they're in their own bubble there. And the Twitter reaction to it was very predictable. A lot of people just going like, oh, is this a joke? They didn't know if he was being serious or not. Because obviously he wouldn't think this. He's one of their popes, Jon Stewart is, as is Colbert. But what was more interesting was Colbert's reaction to Jon Stewart. He didn't know how to react. He asked him if he was working for Senator Ron Johnson when he started with the kooky conspiracy stuff. He said, Colbert still held on to this. Well, wait a minute, they have the lab in Wuhan because that's where the bats are. That's not even true. They study the bats. They have to go get them. They're hundreds of miles away and more south is where the bats are. And Jon Stewart said, too, there's bats in Austin, Texas that are famous. And for some reason, these epidemics are not, you know, ravaging us every year. That this was a freak occurrence. And it just makes more sense. But he wanted to hold on for whatever reason, as many people still do, want to hold on to this idea that this is just weirdo language. And it's because of who says this stuff. We talked about it last week. You guys got to understand, and gals and babies out there, that I know everything, okay? I hate to tell you, but I know everything. Latest bombshell was that scientists admit that the lab leak hypothesis was valid last year, but kept quiet because of who was in the White House. Duh. Told ya. I need to tell you again. I'm always right. This is from NBC News. This isn't a weird website or anything, okay? Last month, a group of 18 scientists published a letter calling for deeper investigation into the origins of COVID-19, which would give serious consideration to the lab leak hypothesis, which points to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, several of these scientists, including MIT and Harvard geneticist Alina Chan, admits that scientists avoided the lab leak hypothesis because they didn't want to be associated with Trump. That's according to NBC News. She says there had been trepidation among some scientists about publicly discussing the lab leak hypothesis for fear that their words would be misconstrued or used to support racist rhetoric about how the coronavirus emerged. Trump-fueled accusations that the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a research lab in a city where COVID-19 was first reported, was connected to the outbreak, and he had called it the Wuhan virus or the Kung Flu, which I'm not even sure if he did. I think he did once, and then it just became a thing, like, oh, that's just what everybody says. I think other people started saying it. I don't even know. Anyway, that's not important. The shift reflects how scientists who previously avoided the topic were quick to dismiss the grappling and enduring the uncertainties about the virus's origin, free from politicization that clouded such discussions during that administration. So while America was told to follow the scientists weren't following the science. They were playing politics. At the time, it was scary to be associated with Trump than to become a tool for racists, so people didn't want to publicly call for an investigation into the lab origin, said Chan. Those who have come around in recent months are also pointing to China's lack of transparency with this whole thing. So they're not following the science. It's like, you know, I don't like the Orwellian terms of doublespeak. And I mean, I do. I think they're very appropriate, but I think they're often overused. But I mean, can we at least call this gaslighting at the very least? Where they're telling us to listen to them. Meanwhile, they're playing their politics. They're injecting their politics into these things. They don't really care about the truth. They're afraid of being associated with somebody who's been portrayed as the worst person ever. And it shouldn't matter how you feel about them. I don't like them. But don't you care about the truth? Don't you value truth? And I think the answer is no. Most people don't. It's pretty sad, pretty pathetic, but that's where we're at right now in society. So 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
A few weeks ago, Anna, we had spoke about that you could be whatever you wanted in this world. The only thing you needed to do was lie about who you were, and strangers would have no idea. I'm pretty sure I came into contact with one of these individuals this past weekend. Let me explain. A few weeks ago, I was on a vessel, a craft that lives on the water. A beautiful boat, name of Insatiable. Now, this journey starts out many years ago. I was given the moniker by my friend now, who is deceased of a drug overdose, of Survivor Man. I'm just saying, he gave me the name.
We're like 30 seconds in, we're talking about overdosing.
I want to honor him and give him credit for this name. He gave me the name Survivor Man at Bonnaroo because of my ability to survive, of experiencing things that I probably shouldn't.
Part of the Navajo tribe, Will?
Probably things that I shouldn't experience in my life, but somehow through connections, friendships, whatever, I get to do these cool things that I wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. This trip was a day cruise fishing on a very nice boat, Insatiable. Now I get there, and this is a friend's boss who booked this thing. My friend's boss is in town from the Carolinas. It's a VP of the company, and she was able to invite me on this journey. So we get there. The journey doesn't start off strong. It's not going well. We don't know where to go. They're on the phone with this man named Captain Ron, which I don't know if you ever saw the movie Captain Ron.
No.
But that's the first thing that popped in my mind.
So what do you mean you don't know where to go? Like, you're actually on the boat and you don't know where to sail?
No, we're at the marina and we don't know where Insatiable is.
Oh, okay. So we're trying to locate the boat.
We're trying to locate Insatiable.
Okay, got
that's
it.
That's what we're trying to do right now. And he's saying, oh, you just go down, slip 2. It'll be there. There's, you know, it'll be there. So we're trying to find slip 2. There's people in the marina that are asking us, you know, who are professionals, like, where are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? Saying, well, they're saying we need to go to slip 2. They're saying there is no slip 2 here at this. They don't really do that type of thing. So we walk around forever. We finally find the vessel, and it's a nice boat. And I'm like, this is going to be cool. Now, I should mention I'm severely hungover, also, shocking. Which I am not are really a big fan of being on a boat and sloshing around when I'm hungover, but I felt like I had to do it.
Right. I think I was with you when you were getting drunk the night before.
Well, Hugo made me play beer pong, and I could have said no, and I did, but I also cracked and just played anyways because it's just what I do.
Right.
So I'm... The boat is, there's booze bottles all over the back of the boat.
And how many people are on the boat or meant to be on the boat?
Meant to be on the boat, a total of six.
Okay.
Of us.
Do all six of you make it?
All six of us make it. We're waiting outside of the boat. We ask this kid who's comes out the back door there, the sliding glass door, and we go, "Hey, are you Captain Ron?" And he goes, yeah. And I said, "Are you sure?" And he went, hold on a second. So he goes back inside. A fella by the name of Tony pops his head out. Tony is psychotic looking. He looks like a man who lives on a boat, which he does.
Okay. That's and is insatiable thing. Is his home.
It's his home. Okay. He lives there with this young boy. Young man.
His son?
No.
Okay.
No, and not what you're thinking. I didn't get the vibe that it was some sort of
daddy.
Well,
you said he lives on a boat with a young boy, so I don't know how that sounded to you, but
I didn't,
to me.
I know how it sounds, but I didn't get the impression that they were gay or anything.
Nambla stat.
Right. Okay. And when I say young boy, I mean probably 22.
Okay.
You know, because I'm an old man now.
Correct.
So 22 is a kid.
Yes.
And he goes, look, it's not Captain Ron. I don't know where Captain Ron is. Where he comes in an equation for this whole thing. I don't know if Captain Ron's the actual owner of this boat or what the deal is. Tony goes, I don't have any fishing equipment. I didn't know this was happening today. I don't really know what to do here.
Now, isn't the VP of the company that your friend works for.
It is.
It is.
You're telling this to them.
I thought that person was a woman for some reason.
Well, yeah, it was her husband
that was
doing most of the talking here. And he goes, I got to go back inside and make some phone calls. At this point, I'm kind of saying, you know what? I don't want to go. I don't feel good. I want to make a good impression.
Sure.
And I feel like crap. And I'm nervous that I'm going to be like sick or something on this
boat.
Yeah, you're
going to embarrass your friend.
Right. Luckily, that wasn't the case because there was another guy on this boat, name of Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Brian was his name. I assumed he was part of the crew. However, he wasn't wearing an insatiable shirt. He was wearing board shorts and just a white t-shirt. And he was an older fella, I would say early 60s, late 50s maybe. We're trying to figure this out, what we're going to do. We decide to get on the boat. He'll take us for a cruise on a half day and just kind of take us around, take us to one of the islands. People can get off and swim, whatever. So the kid and Tony are in their insatiable shirts. Brian's just in his board shorts. Tony informs me that he doesn't technically have a license right now to drive a boat. However, you know how government is what he said. And I went, yeah, I get it, man. He goes, it's just in the mail, you know, Coast Guard. He goes, I swear I'll be good. All right, that's fine with me. I don't care. And
it's not your boat. You won't get in trouble.
And he takes us in and away we go. We leave the port. We're driving around. The guys, the captains and the crew are up top steering the boat, doing whatever they do. We get to and I'm like, well, I need to grit through this. I feel my head's pounding. I feel kind of nauseous.
Oh, no.
So I went with, I'm just going to start pounding beers and that some hair of the dog, you know.
Can I ask you a question? Because I have never done that in my life.
Yeah.
Because the last thing that you want to do when you're hungover is drink more. Mm. I don't know if that's like an old wives' tale that actually works, but I feel like, I mean, you've done it multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it alleviate some of the symptoms of the hangover to get more drunk?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Interesting. Unfortunately, this wasn't one of those days. The first one went down pretty good, and I'm going, all right. And I went and
I'm really doing it.
And I got two more, and I was like, let's go. It's 10:30 in the morning. Let's do this. I'm down. And then about halfway through the third, it's just, I lost steam. Couldn't do it. So I decided that, and it's also hot. You know, it's summer in Florida. It's hot. It's muggy. I'm feeling terrible. I'm sitting on the back of this boat. Light smoke coming out of the back of the boat, which I assume is normal because, you know, it's just a vessel, a gas-burning vessel.
Yeah, so it has an engine and
stuff. I'm getting that you know, exhaust smell.
All right.
And I'm just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. So I went and sat inside and laid down. And ended up...
I'm thinking like carbon monoxide, you're inside, why are you alive?
Well, I just wanted to take a little naparoo, and they had air conditioning in there. Right. And I just shut my eyes and ended up falling asleep. I'm awakened by an alarm. We're kind of parked in the Gulf of Mexico. There's an alarm going off.
Like
I don't
a
really
phone on a phone or like a fire alarm.
Like a fire alarm. Okay. Something. Are we in danger? Okay. Type of thing. And Tony comes scurrying down, and I go, "Tony, is everything okay?" And he's kind of running around, and then he hops out the back and just goes, "Well," and then just shuts the door behind him.
So it doesn't explain.
Doesn't explain.
You're left in the dark. How are you feeling now? A little better?
Still pretty bad, but I'm just, yeah, I'm composed.
Okay.
I'm fine. I'm not going to barf or anything, but I'm a hungover. Mm-hmm. Now, there's where Brian comes into play. Brian comes down. He's got his board shorts on. He's got his wraparound glasses on. And I just ask him, "Hey, Brian, what's going on?" Looks at me, doesn't say a word. Goes to the bathroom.
Doesn't say anything.
I found out why, because he had vomit in his mouth that he was holding in. He's barfing. He's sick. He's hungover.
Oh,
he's okay. Worse than I am. So thank God he's taking the heat off of me now.
Yeah,
because now I'm not the hungover guy.
Yeah, decided to come on a boat.
Second of all, learn that he's not part of the crew. He's Tony's friend. So technically, he's a stowaway on our joyride, on our pleasure cruise. And he's gone for a while, comes out, "Oh, I'm sick." We're parked, the boat's sloshing around, because I found out later that one of the pumps that pumps the water out of the boat is broken. So that means we're sinking, essentially, what's happening. Yeah. And I will say, in Tony's defense, he did fix it. It took him a while, but he fixed it, and everything was fine after that. So thank you, Tony, if somehow you do hear this, that you didn't kill us that day. But Brian decides, "I'm sick. I'm going to go for a swim." He jumps off the boat, disappears. Brian's gone. Nobody knows where Brian is. The other people, they go
for how long? Like, what's the time?
An hour.
You can drown in an hour.
Oh, sure, you can. He's gone. Nobody knows where the hell he is. Yeah. He swam to this little island, apparently. He was just sitting there. Wanted Tony to come get him. On the island. He's like,
How would Tony know that he was there? Did they have any contact?
They must have had some sort of contact eventually, but they were worried that he drowned.
Sure.
Because, you know, they didn't know where he was and they couldn't find him.
What is Bill doing at this point? Is Bill just drinking more?
Who's Bill?
You.
Oh, me. No, I'm still inside, just in the AC.
Okay,
just relaxing.
So you're not panicked. You're just kind of going with the flow.
I didn't give a crap if Brian died or not.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Who cares?
He's a grown man.
And I'm also just wondering about the vibe on the boat. Like, are people panicked? Are people like, "Oh, Brian"?
No, everybody's having a great time.
Ah, okay, great.
Did not let Brian spoil their time.
Potential death ruined their time.
Well, they were a little concerned. I would say there was an air of concern in the air, but really, everybody was just like,
"Stop taking shots."
I'm going to open a Corona and just enjoy this beautiful day that we're having here. So Brian ends up swimming back to the boat. He's saying how sick he is. They're like giving him food now. So now they're like, "Here, Brian, have a sandwich. Try to keep something down." He eats the sandwich. He's barfing off the back of the boat after he eats a sandwich. He's sitting back there. Nobody wants to go sit out back now on the patio because Brian's there and he's barfing.
Yeah. That's a mood killer.
Yeah. So eventually he comes inside to sit with me. I go, "Hey, okay." So he's sitting down. I go, "Oh." Now they had put out some fruit, cut up fruit that they brought with them on the boat. And it was very nice, an assorted array of beautiful fruits from exotic places all over the world. Papaya, mango, apples.
They're going to be like apples, bananas.
No, bananas. Bananas was one.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it. I'm like, "Oh, maybe I'll have some of that. Maybe that'll make me feel better." Brian comes in. "Oh, I'm so sick. Hey, can I have some fruit?" He's a stowaway on our boat. And just the balls to be like, "Yeah, I'm just going to eat and drink your stuff, you know?" And it was offered to him mostly. He did ask me for fruit. I go, "That's fine. Sure.
I mean, it's not yours. Like, you didn't bring it."
Right.
So
I said, "Yeah, you know, I suppose. Yeah, go for it." So they put out these little bowls, and he filled his bowl up. He's eating fruit. He's making small talk with me. He says, "Are these bowls the ship's or yours?" And I said, "I don't know, sir. I really don't know.
They're not yours."
So he goes, okay, I'm just going to sit down. Grabs my friend's towel and sits on her towel. And then starts wiping out the bowl with a paper towel. And wiping the fork off. Sets the bowl and fork that he used down with the clean forks and bowls.
Oh, so like after he was done with it.
Yeah.
He just wiped it.
Instead of just putting it in the sink and figuring it out later. That was just a shocking event. I couldn't believe I was witnessing. And I think under normal circumstances, I would have been like, no, just put it in the sink. But I just wanted to see how far it would go.
Of course.
And then he starts, he's like, oh, I feel a little better. I couldn't keep anything down. And I think I'm feeling better. And he's making small talk with me. He goes, yeah, I was actually in the Bitcoin convention in Miami a few days ago. I go, of course you were. And then he says, yeah, I work for a company that makes wind turbines, and we have this new turbine that's going to revolutionize everything. It's made out of soybean extract or something. And we actually started our own cryptocurrency. And I go, of course you did. Of course you did. It's just so fitting for this event mm-hmm. and what's happening and his persona. I find his biography online.
Oh, so you did a search yourself.
I did a search myself on him. He graduated in the top 3% of the Chicken Soup for the Soul clinic that he went to a few years ago. There was some sort of clinic with that famous book, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
It's like not a series, but like a, yeah, I guess you could call it a series of books.
Mm-hmm.
With stores. I used to read them myself.
Now, what are they? Because he took some sort of clinic or something and graduated in the top 3%.
I mean, the books are like heartwarming, like short stories.
Okay.
So it'll be like chicken soup for the mother soul, chicken soup for the sister soul.
Right.
And they have a theme, and then it's just a bunch of short stories that are like really heartwarming.
Okay, so this is probably a lie. I'm assuming then that he probably just found a book that was very popular and just said, I'll just say that I took some sort of clinic and graduated in the top 3%. Of this clinic, because there's nothing to graduate from, really, I would imagine.
Yeah, like, by clinic, do they mean, like, he took, like, a two-week, like, intensive on how to, like, write stories, or?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I did not ask Brian at this point, but, so we finish our journey. He, as we're getting off the boat, somebody made muffins. Homemade muffins.
What the hell's going on? What kind of muffins?
They were like a breakfast muffin.
Like a banana nut?
Kind of.
Blueberry?
Yeah. Like a banana nut.
All right.
They were good.
Bran, I can vibe with that.
Yeah. And just the accoutrement of the crowning jewel of this day, where he's already, you know, barfed all over the place. You know,
wiped down the bowl with
stowed,
a towel.
Stowed away on a vessel and enjoyed a luxury cruise and paid nothing for it. You know, a cryptocurrency inventor.
Of course.
Just a lot of things. He goes, hey, I didn't get to try any of your muffins. Could I have some? So the girl that made him goes, sure, I suppose so. There's 5 left on the tray there. How many do you think that Bri guy grabs? Out of the 5. He grabs all 5 and takes all 5.
Are they mini muffins?
They're small-ish.
Okay. How many did you consume?
I had 2, I believe.
So that was, it's probably like most people are having in the ballpark of like 1 to 3. Like
right.
No one is hoarding 5 muffins.
I mean, I suppose they were up for grabs and anybody could have them, but not from a stowaway who shouldn't have been there to begin with.
Right.
They
right.
were made for the people who were going on
supposed
the trip.
Supposed to be, yeah.
And perhaps maybe Tony and the kid, you know, the captains of the boat.
Sure.
And, you know, it wasn't a big deal sharing with the stowaway.
But he had no stowaway etiquette.
None.
Or guest
none
etiquette.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then
he
before...
He couldn't blend.
Couldn't let us go either, because now he's feeling great. He's had bran muffins, he's had fruit, he's barfed up everything, he's hydrated now, he's feeling good, finally, after hours of being sick. Now he's in pitch mode. Now he wants to pitch us on his business. And we're trying to get off the boat and go. And he's holding everybody there, telling us about this cryptocurrency and basically trying to get us to invest in his business. And the balls of this guy, it was just astounding. I admired it to a certain extent.
But I also get it.
I'm so glad that I met this guy, but I also wish I never came into contact with this person ever.
It's one of those things when they tell you that you can be whatever you want. I think this is what they mean. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you can be whatever you want. You can be the president. And it's like, yes, you can. You can just tell people you're the president of a company. You can just tell people you're in real estate. You can just tell people that you have your own crypto.
Sure.
That's what that means. I think I cracked the code because this whole time I thought it meant you actually had to go do those things. But that's not the case.
Not always. I will say,
you can play pretend forever.
In this man's defense, he did. I looked up his cryptocurrency. It's a real thing.
Okay.
And they turn the and it's actually not a bad idea. And like, if it works, it would be, yeah, something that would be cool. It turns these crypto, I guess they take the money and build the turbines, and then they take the money from the turbines and put it into the crypto. I guess that's a deal. I'm sure it's a scam. Ideally, that will benefit Brian in the end.
Of course.
If it works, if he can con enough people to invest in this cryptocurrency of his. But if you're interested, you can contact me and I'll let you know. I can send you his info.
What a wild tale of Brian.
It was astounding. It truly was. Where does he live
besides on a boat?
He lives in California.
Oh, no.
Laguna Beach, California.
Oh, you know what? You know who lives there? My mom.
Yeah.
So next time I go to Laguna Beach, I'll look him up. Maybe we can hang out with Brian.
I think you would love Brian a lot. And I'm going to show you a photograph of him. I think I actually might make it the cover of this podcast.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. So I'll just put my logo over the vice president husband's face. Mm-hmm. So you can see Tony and Brian together. Because they are a motley crew, truly. It's completely, look, psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian just looks like an old boomer. He had like, a lot of these pregnant older belly. Guys have pregnant belly, but the hernia too. So the belly button is kind of out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
He disgusting. Had that thing going on, but he was kind of like not in shape, but for an older fella holding it together a little bit, he's going to fall apart. I mean, his body's going to break down at any
especially
minute.
The way
now.
He's treating it doesn't sound like he's really going for
longevity.
Well,
he says he never drinks. He says he never drinks. So this was, he just hasn't seen Tone. In a long
of
time,
course.
So they
we had
celebrated.
Drink in excess. And it's crazy because like I've had those moments before. I'm sure you have too, where like 95% of your life, you're a normal, sober human being, right? For, at least for most people. Then you have a night where you're just out of control. Either you're throwing up. Not saying this is recently, but just in the course of our lifetime, you're throwing up. You're a mess. You're crying. Maybe if you're a girl or a guy, or they be whatever, and you're just an absolute disaster. And that's when you meet a person, and they only have that one memory of you. You know what I mean? And it's a fleeting moment or night or something like that. It's not like a friend or someone you're going to have a repeated encounter with. I have those people in my life who met me one night. You know, and maybe we're friends on Facebook. Maybe we follow each other on Instagram, or maybe I'll never see them again. But they'll only know me as like a drunk, dumb bitch.
Yeah.
And that's their memory. So wouldn't it be funny if like that was the case with Brian, where this is just one off? Probably not, but maybe.
I think just the way he acted in other circumstances with just like getting his, you know, just not concerned about anybody else's property or... Yeah. You know, their stuff, respecting their things. He was just like, well, I'm sick and I need somewhere to sit. So I'm just going to take this towel.
And I need muffins, all of them.
And I would like to try a muffin. I like to try five.
And they're all the same flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But you know what? People like Brian are probably the most happy.
Well, absolutely. They have everything that they want.
They have everything that they want. They don't have problems with... self-esteem. They have an overactive imagination where they think everything is okay and that they are the best and that they deserve the world. And we've talked about this, you know, before a couple weeks ago with my friend whom I envy in many ways and, you know, and also despise as well. But I do envy the ability to just live in a reality that doesn't exist. Because, I mean, the end game for me, and I'm sure the end game for you in life is just happiness, whatever that looks like. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not really, not saying I'm not trying to change the world in small ways in my local community, but at the end of the day, I'm here to get mines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just want to be happy. And some people that act like that might be the happiest of them all. So maybe we should all be envious of them instead of berating them.
But it's also, you know, when you, I don't know, I just feel like that most people... Maybe not most people. A lot of people have some sort of self-awareness, and self-awareness is rare.
That's where you're wrong.
That's where I'm wrong. I give people too much credit sometimes, yeah. I think. But just knowing, you know, if I was a stowaway on a vessel, I'd be trying to lay low You know what I mean? Like, I would go in the bedroom and just lay down and just get grit through 3 hours.
Do you remember the bit by Louis C.K. when he's talking about gaining weight and he said, at first, your pants feel kind of tight and then you just keep eating and eating and then the pants drop low and then you go, oh, I'm losing weight. And then he says, I ate my way to the other side.
Right.
I have a theory that with some people, if you are a little bit obnoxious, that's not the way to go. If you go all in, you become a character. And you go, well, that's just Brian. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you invite them because they're so outrageous. You like them because they're so outrageous, because they don't have this self-awareness that the rest of us do. But if they kind of like go back and forth where they're kind of annoying and you're just like, they become irritating. But when they become so annoying and obnoxious that they're funny and you just want to watch them because they're such an oddball, then it's like they ate their way to the other side, if that makes sense. They became so obnoxious that they became likable again. Because they're a character.
Well, that's what I was telling you. It's like this weird feeling with this guy. I hate him, but I also was like, what's going to happen next? I was just enjoying the spectacle of him.
Let me ask you this. If given the opportunity to hang out with Brian again, not necessarily on a boat, would you do it? I think the answer is yes, because you need a sequel. You need another data point. Is this really who he is, or is this a one-off?
I think at least one more time. Mm-hmm. I would want to see what would happen next. Yeah, wow.
He ate his way to the other side. Yes.
And he's probably going to end up being the next cryptocurrency billionaire.
The next Elon Musk.
The next crypto. He's going to make his turbines out of soybean oil, and he's going to con people into investing in this cryptocurrency and just stockpile their cash and just disappear on the SS Insatiable one day with Tone and the kid. And they're just going to live this life of luxury forever.
And God bless him.
God bless, truly. All right, there you go. Follow Anna Hummel Radio. Follow me, home_made_man. That's Instagram and Twitter, and Radio St. Pete. Radio STPETE. Head over to that hmbradio.com/store. Get yourself a hat, a hoodie, a t-shirt, something. Limited time offer. Or if you're feeling very generous and don't want anything, you can always throw in a few bucks to the tip jar. hmbradio.com/donate. And check us out. Anna's on the Bubble Love Sponge show. She's the co-host there every morning. I'm co-host of the Johnny B Show on 102.5 The Bone here from 9 to midnight. So check us out there. If not, we'll see you next week. My name is Will Koontz. It's been HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM. If you're listening over there, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Subscribe to the podcast, HMB Radio, on iTunes and everywhere else you get your pods. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.